Hello, Hey Boomer listeners. My name is Wendy Green and I am your host for Hey Boomer. Hey Boomer is a show that brings you thoughtful and entertaining conversations with people like authors and thought leaders and scientists and entertainers. And we focus on engaging in life, finding ways to make a difference, and enhancing our purpose as we age. And I'm very excited about our guests today, Ron Demenay and Nancy Neal. And they are going to talk to us about the Dawn Retreat Center. So we'll get into that in a little bit. For those of you who read my blog last week, I talked about some of the anxiety and stress that we have all been feeling this past year and a half because of the pandemic and because of a lot of the social unrest and upheaval that we've been seeing all around us. And this has threatened our sense of safety and security. And I talked about how trying to find some sense of control over our feelings and our responses to this, to these, this anxiety and these stressors, it's a lot of individual work. And it's something that we try to manage the best that we can. But there's also a lot of power in the sense of community. And when we can be in community with like-minded people, people that we feel safe with, people that we feel loved by and that we love, we can enhance that sense of safety and security by surrounding ourselves with that. And my wish for you all is that you will be able to find those people and that love and sense of safety and security in this upcoming holiday week and going into the new year. And part of what we will talk about today with Ron and Nancy about the Dawn Retreat Center will be how to find some of that inner peace, that inner harmony, and find that not only in ourselves, but in nature, in the world around us. So I'm very much looking forward to that conversation. Before we get to that, though, I have some new never too old stories for you today. And these stories happen to be love stories. The first love story is personal. It is my mother's love story. And my mother met Don Blumenthal at the senior living center where she lives. And she was intrigued because his last name is the same last name that was her maiden name. And so at the age of 88, after a short friendship, my mother June and Don married, and they enjoy spending time together, sharing books, sharing a passion for writing letters to the editor and communicating with their congresspeople, cooking great meals. And it has been a blessing for them to be together during this pandemic. And at 91, and 3 years into marriage, they are still so much in love. The second love story that I have to share with you is from June of 2015. And a man named George Kirby, who was 105 at the time, and Doreen Lucky, who was 91, became the oldest couple to get married, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. They had been living together since 1990, and their children finally convinced them to get married. And George was quoted as saying, "It was about time. I can definitely say we are going to spend the rest of our lives together." I guess so, at 105 and 91. I always ask you to help me grow the Hey Boomer audience and to let me know that you're there and what you're liking about it and what you would like to see and what we can do better. So drop me a note at wendy@heyboomer.biz. Share this email with your friends and your family and ask them to come on and join our community, because this is another community of safety and security, and that helps us to enhance our sense of place and purpose in this world. So drop me a note, wendy@heyboomer.biz, and I look forward to responding to all of you and seeing what you have to say. And with that, I want to bring Ron and Nancy on. Hello.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
We're delighted.
Yes.
Let me take a moment and go through a short bio for each of you. So Nancy is an ordained interfaith minister through the Center for Sacred Studies, which is with the guidance of the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers Council devoted to praying for Mother Earth and all her inhabitants. Nancy earned a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition and Dietetics from TCU and spent over 25 years as a registered dietitian working with eating disorders. Early in her career, she applied her education by serving overseas in the Peace Corps. She currently maintains a private practice focused on spiritual direction and mind, body, spirit counseling. As both a meditation and yoga teacher, her passion is finding ways to take the power of contemplative practices into one's life. And this led her to establishing the Dawn Retreat Center, which has been a lifelong dream to help others find inner peace. Ron Demenay is a retired business executive with over 40 years of experience in the private sector, focused on engineering and manufacturing industries worldwide. After retiring from the private sector, Ron founded Veterans Scholarships Forever as a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to helping veterans and their families get technical training that led to immediate new careers. Ron's passion is to give back to the community, and he is actively involved with Rotary International, which focuses on service above self, which is where I met Ron. And Ron strongly supports Nancy's dream to establish the Dawn Retreat Center and help develop a much needed service to the community. So thank you both. Both very service-oriented individuals. And so with that, let me start by asking you what I left out, where you would like to fill us in about yourselves, your journey, and where you are now.
Well, goodness. Yeah, we're at a very exciting point in our journey, quite frankly, because we have now had a good 5-6 months of the retreat center being open to the community and having a variety of events there. So it's fun to see this long-held dream come true. So that's where we are.
Okay. And so let's start with your private practice, Nancy. So you said in your bio that you sent me that you focus on spiritual direction and mind, body, spirit counseling. So what would bring somebody to your practice?
You know, Wendy, people come from all different directions to see me. Many of them come from working a spiritual program like the 12 Steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they've already been steeped in some sort of tradition like that, and they are now at a place either in their recovery or their own journey where they're wanting more, and they're wanting to explore other practices, other ideas, other theology. So some people come to me for that. People also come for dream work. I run a number of dream groups, and people come who want to explore their inner life through dreams. I also see people I do energy work, and people will come for that and other deeper explorations. So it's a wide variety. It always is enlightening to me, because whoever I see, you know that it always goes both ways. And we have such a thriving and energized community here in Greenville that is awakening in ways that just delight me. So it's a wonderful thing.
Nice. Well, I have to remember my dreams. That's the first step.
And you know, honestly, just saying that I want to remember my dreams, even saying that before we go to sleep at night helps. Having a little pad of paper and a pen right by our bed helps. And then having somebody or a partner to talk to about it afterwards is also a good idea. So there's all kinds of ways that we can kind of seed that idea that we want to remember our dreams.
Yeah, because I do think there is a lot of wisdom that we can get from them if we pay attention. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so thank you for that. Yeah. So the Dawn Retreat Center, it's been a lifelong dream. So tell me where this dream started. What's been the journey to get there? And yeah, just kind of fill us in.
Do you want me to talk about where we started?
Sure.
Well, Nancy's had the dream ever since we've known each other, and we've talked about it, and just we put together a strategic plan probably about 5 years ago. And just one thing led to another, and finally in 2019 we said it's time to make the leap. So we organized, we formed a nonprofit, we filed for our nonprofit status, we're a 501c3, and put together our board, went into the community. We're working with a gentleman who has 100 acres up near Jones Gap State Park. He loves our vision, so we're working together. And so it's slowly coming together. This year was, you know, we're trying to crawl before we walk, before we run. So this was the year of crawling. We've gotten organized. We've had at least an event every month since last May. And things are starting to grow. They're coming together, and we're excited about it.
And so what was your vision? What was your dream, Nancy?
Yeah, you know, that goes way back. When I was a little girl, I spent most of my time outside, alone, in nature. Hours, endless hours. And I never felt alone. It was always a place of feeling like home. And it wasn't until I, you know, had to get into the big bad world that I began to feel more lost and confused. And it was during my college years that I did my first 5-day silent retreat. And I had no idea really what I was looking for or why I was even going, but I felt really drawn to go. And, you know, the first couple of days I thought I was gonna lose my mind, which I learned later that was the whole point. But by the third day or so, I found that a return home. I found that peace, that stillness that I knew so well as a little girl playing out under the trees and, out in nature. And it was such a profound awakening that I remember thinking at that time, I just wish everyone could experience this at least once. And so that was the seed. I was also highly influenced by Mother Teresa as a young woman. And I chose the going into nutrition so that I could go into the Peace Corps. Of course, Mother Teresa said, stay put. Don't go, you don't have to go to foreign countries, but I also had a lot of wanderlust. So I wanted to see the world and join the Peace Corps. And it's interesting too, that experience was less about, you know, me feeding the hungry, and more about, again, being in awe of Mother Nature in this beautiful island nation that I was sent to, the Seychelles. So that too sort of continued to spark that connection, that to find that still small voice within. For me, it helped to be in nature in whatever form that took. So then I, you know, come back to the States, and I'm St. Francis Hospital had just started a brand new eating disorder unit, and I was hired to work there. So I like to say I went from the body and the focus on the body and nutrition and health in that way to the mind with the psychological issues with the eating disorders. But I was always asking that question, my clients were, as well as I was, who am I? What is this all about? What's my purpose? So it only stand that to reason that I was going to end up moving into a more spiritual practice, a study for to be ordained interfaith minister. And that then became an inroad for us looking at doing a retreat center that was really going to be centered on bringing a community together that was interested in this connecting with that still small voice within. So it is a delight because we live in this gorgeous, you know, the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains that are sacred Cherokee land, and the property where Dawn Retreat Center lies is, you just walk on it and it's amazing how powerful and regenerative it is. And the owner of the property will tell you that he credits the land for helping him to heal from his illness. And we suspect that it has that power for many people. So that's the other delight that we find in opening this center for others to come. Whether they've ever done contemplative practices or not, they can begin to find some tools to start with, and some others who are exploring this as well, and allow themselves to touch into something perhaps that they too had when they were young and have maybe lost over the years.
Yeah, I love the way you said that. I mean, you touched on so many things that are important, you know, the spirituality, the sense of purpose, the finding that inner harmony. Now, I used to come to summer camp up here, and it was that place where I felt I belonged, you know. I felt that sense of these things are greater than me, and yet it gave me a sense of where I needed to be, you know. And I think we don't get out in nature enough. So, and you must have lots of ideas for programs. I know you have one coming up. I'm going to share that. But if you'll talk a little bit about that and some of the ideas for the programs, where you want to take this, that would be great.
We have had such a wonderful response already. We began with doing a half day mini retreat, we called it, and we gathered a huge number of people. And this was even with COVID, but we were able to do it outside with socially distant. And we began with a meditation. And then we invited all of the participants to walk the land. And as Ron said, we have 100 acres there. And it's easy for a large group to wander the property and feel again able to find some stillness and silence. So we had them walk the property and gather up natural elements like pine cones and leaves and feathers and that sort of thing, and invited them to create what we called an earth altar, to stop and find a space and create, in whatever way they felt so moved, a simple offering to the earth, or they could dedicate it to whoever or whatever that they wished. And of course, we also are practicing the art of impermanence as we leave these altars to be reabsorbed into the earth as just a little thank you for our time there. We encouraged everyone to take photos of them, and we gathered afterwards and shared our experiences in those photos. And I have to tell you, people said afterwards, this was, especially with the COVID, they said this was some of the first times that they had felt at peace in months. So it was very gratifying. And we've done a variety of other events. Ron got to create his very first labyrinth with using 350 luminarias. How was that, Ron?
It was a lot of work, but real work.
The engineer in you came out, huh?
Yes.
Absolutely. It was done to perfection. Never mind that it did slightly rain a little bit prior to everybody walking it. But that too was a powerful event that we were honoring our ancestors. And again, in respect to COVID, many people who walked the labyrinth wrote names of people who had been lost to them, who died in these past couple of years, either to COVID or in other ways. So it was just a really powerful way to as a community, acknowledge our losses and our grief and be together.
And we need that. And so you have this event coming up, December 5th?
Yes.
And what is that going to be?
We call that the Meditation in the Mountains. And this is an offshoot of a program that Ron and I were doing here at our office, which was Bowing Head to Heart. And the concept behind that was bringing a community together to teach a variety of ways to quiet our mind and listen to that still small voice within. So we talked about, showed it, we did I don't know, 10, 12, 15 times of different ways of meditating. And so our Meditation in the Mountains is an extension of that. We do it once a month on Sundays from 10:30 till noon. And we do it outside. So this one's going to be perhaps a little chilly, but we'll do it partly in stillness and seated, and then partly walking the property. And I think it will be fabulous to see how the trees have changed and the leaves have fallen and what that brings to our meditation practice.
Yeah, so those of you who are local to the area, it's free. You can go ahead and RSVP. And you can also just go sign up for their email so you know what's going on. So when you come and visit in this area, you can check out the Dawn Retreat Center. So coming up, 2022, you are ready to hopefully be able to fully open. What are your plans for 2022?
Well, one of the things that we hope to do soon is to offer these silent retreats that you could come for a 2, 3, 4, 5-day retreat. And those would be structured such that you would have an opportunity to meet with someone who would probably be to guide you in moving into something like a silent retreat. Most people have not done something like this. And so it's helpful to have some guidance and to kind of know what to expect. I've asked all of our board members to do a silent retreat this year. And I did my retreat a month ago, and I was laughing at myself at that first day, feeling like, what do I do without having my phone connected to me constantly? I mean, it was amazing. I would like to think that's not an issue, but so we all have that, what does it mean to be unplugged, really unplugged? And then there'd be an opportunity to meet with someone at the end of the retreat to integrate that experience. So that's some of what we've got planned. What am I forgetting, Ron?
Well, that's the big thing. And it's kind of interesting. Every time we mention the silent retreats to somebody, they almost cringe. They can't imagine just being quiet. They can't imagine unplugging their phone, their computer. What are they going to do with themselves, et cetera? So it's a bit of a shock to the system. But like Nancy said, after about a day or two, it's a great shock, because all of a sudden you start calming down. The monkey mind goes away. It's a very, very helpful event.
I found that I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to stay, and then I didn't want to leave. And I hope that would be the experience most people have.
Yeah. I did one many, many years ago, and it was very hard. And I think the hardest thing for me was like mealtime. You know, you're sitting across the table from somebody, but you can't talk to them. So.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was interesting.
That also brings that level of awareness to our eating, right? and how so often we eat without much awareness, that we just eat because that's what we do 3 times a day or more, and to bring a level of mindfulness to that whole process is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So Ron, you were doing the veterans work. Are you still doing any of that?
No, our board decided it was time to close that down back in last year. We were trying to fill a gap. We were trying to help veterans coming out to get some technical training so that they could get jobs quickly, et cetera. And that wasn't being funded very well by the VA. But since that time, things have changed. There have been some new programs. So we decided we were redundant. So we shut that down last year.
Okay, so you and Nancy, in the boomer generation, when many people are saying, you know, I want to walk away from work, I'm ready to slow down. And here you both are making an investment in a new endeavor and a, you know, new project. What's that like?
Well, it's exciting. People say, don't you want to just retire? And the thought of retirement just sounds awful to me. I've had friends over the years that they couldn't wait to retire because they couldn't wait to just do nothing. And then after a couple of months, they were bored to tears. They were concentrating on their aches and pains. They were going to the doctor, filling up their medicine cabinet, and it was just an unhealthy situation. So I really believe the fountain of youth is staying engaged, finding purpose, doing something. And so, I love it. Like I said, I can't even imagine retiring.
And now you should know that Ron has a mother who's 103, going strong. In fact, you know, she may beat your example of the 105-year-old getting married. So she's been a wonderful inspiration to us both, as have my parents. And this idea, you know, I keep having a refrain that goes through my head of, I just want to do what I came here to do. And I don't know if any of your listeners have that same sort of refrain, but that's still in my head. I just want to do what I came here to do, whatever that is. And so until that's done, I guess we're going to keep
doing it.
Well, and that's what Hey Boomer is about. It's about staying engaged in life. You know, I love this comment. David says, no retirement for me. Don't let the old man in. But I think that's right. You know, we need to stay engaged and recognize that, you know, our generation did so much when we were younger. And now we have wisdom and hopefully some resources to be able to continue to make a huge difference in this world. And they need us right now, I think.
Yes. Absolutely. I was going to say that same thing. I think the wisdom of the elders is needed more now than perhaps ever before. And the elders who teach me are from the indigenous tribes, and they are telling us that we're at a critical point. We must listen. We must listen to them, and we must begin to change our ways. So, I feel like this is the time to share what we have all learned over the years. We may feel, and I do, you know, I sometimes still think I'm 20 years old, but I know that I have lived a lot now and have acquired, I hope, a little bit of wisdom. And it is time for us to share that wisdom.
Yeah. And we all are a work in progress. I mean, we're always learning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this time of year, you know, with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah, and I mean, it gets very hectic. So if we can't get to the Dawn Retreat Center, what are some tips that you have for people to try and help them stay centered during this kind of crazy time?
You know, my college roommate and best friend used to say the best time to start a new habit is in December. She says, if you can do that, if you can do it in December, you can do it any time for the rest of the year. So I've always remembered that. But and with that thought, you know, I'm a big believer in just trying to do something, anything, but try to do it consistently. So it would be my encouragement to do, you know, set aside 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, to sit and work in some sort of contemplative way, listening to your breath for 5 minutes. And you know, I still put a little star on my calendar when I exercise, but I do think we need those little extra things to remind us that this is something we want to do. And to when we're trying to do some new pattern, it's going to take a little extra oomph. You know, we have these wonderful apps now, Insight Timer and Headspace and all of those that help us with meditating. And they keep track. They give you the little star. And so if you've never done it, I would encourage anyone listening to give it a try. See what you know, download one of those free apps, put it on 5 minutes and see what it's like. I think that could help quite a bit this coming up in these busy, busy times. What do you think, Ron?
No, I like that. I really do. And it's surprising, just 5 minutes, just quieting your mind for 5 minutes. It's unbelievable the effect that you'll feel. So it's worth it. It's worth trying.
So I have to ask you, okay, so I have perfectionist tendencies. big reveal. And so, you know, I have to exercise. I like to journal every morning or read something every morning. Mm-hmm. Now I have to add meditation. Yeah. And wait, I have to cook good meals and healthy meals and take, you know, it's like, how do we give ourselves the grace,
right,
let's say, to say, just do some of those. You don't have to do everything to be perfect.
I think that's so good, great, Wendy. And I think a lot of people relate to that. Absolutely. One thing that I find is that having a separate place where we go to have this little silence is helpful. Whatever it may be, it could just be a particular chair or a you know, looking out a window, sitting on a cushion. I like to lie down when I meditate. I don't want to be encumbered by any sort of aches and pains from sitting. So I make myself very comfortable. But what we know is by creating that sacred space, that's one place, that just when we go, just by sitting there or just moving into that space, we're already starting to slow our minds down, and it allows us to do this meditation a little bit with more ease. So finding one place in the house that you can kind of call your own, or outside if that's preferable, that helps. I think the thing that shifted for me, and I will tell you, I've been meditating probably daily for about 40 years, but the thing that shifted for me was when I began to feel better and I wanted to. Instead of it being something I had to do, it became something I wanted to do. So that sometimes takes doing it consistently to see the difference. And that may be, I don't know, 30 days or so before we really start to see some sort of shift. But lots of grace, because come on, we don't need any more ways in which we feel bad about ourselves.
And what about you, Rhonda? Have you meditated consistently for years?
Well, I have. And I two things. Number one, I find that my mind is in the right place. As soon as I wake up in the morning, you're in that half asleep, half awake state. And then at night, just before I fall asleep. So I try to do my meditations, my affirmations. I try to do it in that space. And that way I feel like I've got more of a direct communication to my subconscious. And I've noticed big differences. It really works.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that said, Nancy has a special treat for all of us. She has offered to do a short guided meditation prayer reading for us. So I am going to pass this to you, Nancy, and I'm actually going to take myself off the screen. So it'll be just you and Ron, and I can participate as well.
Beautiful. Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Wendy. So again, let's not make this into something that is hard to do, but something that is enjoyable and that you're looking forward to. So I invite you now to just close your eyes gently. And if that doesn't feel comfortable, just a hooded eyelid is perfectly fine. For some of us, closing our eyes feels a little too threatening. But if you're comfortable, just close your eyes. And let's begin with a nice deep inhale. Deep inhale. And we slowly release. Let's do that again. Deepest inhale. And we slowly release. You may begin to feel your shoulders slightly relaxing. Allow yourself to feel your hands just open, thinking of them as happy, happy hands. As we come now into our bodies, becoming aware of our body as it touches the seat or the cushion or the floor where we are. And returning to our breath, just observing. Don't need to do anything special with it. Just noticing the air as it leaves our nostrils, the warmth or the coolness at our nose. We may notice our chest and our belly moving as we breathe. Again, no need to alter anything. Just watching, observing. Feel yourself moving into this space. Even creating a little more space inside. Allow this breath to be as it is, to be an anchor. And as our thoughts come, and they will, we come back to the breath, observing perhaps the very beginning of the inhale. And watching it all the way until the very beginning of the exhale. And as you notice thoughts wanting to come in, no need to judge, just allow. The fact that we notice it allows us to come back to the breath. Coming back, coming back. You might even experience a moment of gratitude as you realize you're safe, you're here, you're now. I invite you to just continue to stay in this space as I share with you a prayer of the Ute tribe of North America. Earth, teach me stillness, as the grasses are stilled with light. Earth, teach me suffering, as old stones suffer with memory. Earth, teach me humility, as blossoms are humble with beginning. Earth, teach me caring, as the mother who secures her young. Earth, teach me courage, as the tree which stands all alone. Earth, teach me limitation, as the ant which crawls on the ground. Earth, teach me freedom, as the eagle which soars in the sky.